الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. But in response to the question that if somebody contributes in the building of the mosque, will he get the reward of the one who has built the mosque? He will get part of the reward of those who have come together to build the mosque. The reward of building the mosque is there, which will be shared among those who have built the mosque. So since he has contributed, he is going to get part of the reward of those who have contributed in building the mosque. So who say eating loan is going to get the reward of who has built the mosque because he has not built it on his own or built it in loan. He has built it together with some people. So he's going to get the reward according to his contribution to the completion of the mosque. Wallahu
a'lam.
Now, in response to that question, I say the one who is leading the scholar and if we do get initiated, particularly during Salatul Zuhr or Asr, and is leaving, maybe he asks another person to replace him. Is he going to read out? Is he going to read out the place that he has gotten to? If he reads out, there is no harm. If he doesn't read out, as long as the person who is behind him is also reading, the person will continue with his own recitation, particularly his Zuhr Salah. And we know that in Zuhr Salah or Asr Salah, or in those areas that the Imam reads silently, the Ma'amun is also expected to read. So maybe when the Imam is leaving, he has gotten to Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. The Ma'amun may not have gotten to that place. Maybe the Ma'amun is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, for instance. So if we say he's going to continue from where the Imam stops, it means he's going to join a verse or so. So he will continue from where he has stopped, not from where the Imam has stopped. But if he, and if the where the Imam is stopped is where he has also stopped, so he continues from there. How this is getting. So the same thing can be said if the Imam is reciting aloud. So it depends if the Imam, if he has read up to where the Imam has gotten to, he continues to that. If he has not read up to that, he continues from here, he has read up to. So, Allah.
On that, you know, in the
So if the Imam last
because they have not started to go down to Plaza. He was busy. They have not started to go down to Plaza when he was paying
9 months. Okay, okay, the question is clear. That is going by the opinion of those who say that when the Imam is reciting, the Ma'moom does not recite. The Ma'moom listens. That the Imam is reciting aloud now. This one has to do with when the Imam is reciting aloud. So the Ma'moom is listening. So it is after the Ma'moom has finished, sorry, the Imam has finished his own recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, that the Ma'moom commences his own Surah Al-Fatiha. So where is the Ma'moom going to start? The Ma'moom will start from where he's supposed to start. Since he has not read Surah Al-Fatiha, he will start from Surah Al-Fatiha. He will start from Surah Al-Fatiha. So he can't build on what the Imam has read because he has not read. He has not read. But if the Salat is due or after, which means that the Ma'moom himself is also reciting inwardly. So it goes the way we have explained. But if it has to do with Salatu Isha, for instance, or the first Surah called Salatu Isha, the first Surah called Salatu Maghrib and Salatu Subh, so the Ma'moom will listen to the recitation of the Ma'moom while reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Sorry, recitation of the Imam while he is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. However, we have the opinion that if the Ma'moom recites as the Imam is reciting. Take for instance, it says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Ma'moom also says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So that is the opinion. That is, it's not that you are going to wait till the Imam finishes Surah Al-Fatiha before you commence yours. Before you commence yours. As for the hadith that says that the hadith is better with Da'if by some of the scholars of hadith, that you have to wait till Imam finishes. So what matters is that you recite Surah Al-Fatiha just as the Imam recites Surah Al-Fatiha. So some said if he is reciting silently, he says it's compulsion. But if you recite it aloud, his own citation are taking care of your own citation. This is the view of majority of the scholars. However, some scholars are of the opinion that no, you must also recite even if the Imam is reciting aloud. You must recite. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the strongest of all the opinions on this matter. You have to recite. Whether you recite after the Imam has finished his own recitation, or you recite as the Imam is reciting, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you also say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So, by the time the Imam is saying, Ghairi Maghdubi Alim Wala Dhalim, you also be saying, Ghairi Maghdubi Alim Wala Dhalim. As he's about to say, Ameen, you will say, Ameen together. And this is the favorite opinion of people like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and many others. Allah wa'ala. No. That is for the fasting. Now on fidya that has to do with the fasting, for instance, it must be food and not the works in cash or in currency. It must be food. unless if you are sure that the person, when you give him the watch in currency, that person is going to use it to buy food. Because what it is meant for is to eat, to buy food to eat, or is for the person to, the poor person to eat food. Some people will give them the watch in currency, the equivalent in currency. They use it for some other things, like using it to buy the charge card for instance, or using it to buy clothes and things like that. So this is not for harm in the skin. Allah said for harm in the skin. So this one has used it to buy credit cards. This is not for harm in the skin. Well, the person, you are sure that if you give him the cash, he's going to use it for food. It means the person is like an agent for you. Though he's going to be the beneficiary of that thing, but you have also taken him as an agent to get you that thing that you are supposed to get yourself. So that's one aspect. You do not. Now, selling tickets, if one is sure that the society is going to use it to buy food and give to people, that is nothing wrong. So the society, they will be like what? A representative for you. But if you know that the society will give it to people that they can use for anything, and one knows that, then one has not done the fidya. One has not done the fidya. It's just like the slaughtering of the adha, whatever. In haram, some people they sell what? Some of these bodies, yes, they sell tickets. And these people, they are reliable. Some of these people are reliable. So if you buy tickets from them to slaughter your udhiya or your hadiya, what you are supposed to slaughter as a pilgrim, you pay, and they are trustworthy people, they slaughter on your behalf. No harm. So they are representatives. But if you know that these people are not going to do it the way some people do, in fact, some of the Nigerians, they do this. Even some of the students who are studying in Saudi Arabia, who are Nigerians, they take money from you and they don't slaughter anything. They take money from you and they won't slaughter anything. So this is what? It's khiyana. So when you know that something like this operates, so if you want to take any person as your representative, you must investigate, verify that these people are doing it in the right way. If you just, if you are like a nice people about that and you pay, so you pay while you have not done what you are supposed to do. So if you are sure that there is a society or there are some societies who are selling tickets and they are going to do the needful, there is nothing wrong in this. Just like Zakat al-Fitr as well, if you know that they are going to use it to buy foodstuff and disseminate or distribute to the needy, there is no harm buying tickets from them and allowing them to do that. As long as they are going to do distribution before the age is observed, before the age is observed. So all these are one side of the question. The other side of the question is it sahur and iftar? No. The hadith does not mention sahur, nor the ayah mentions sahur and iftar. Feed a needy, a poor person, that is what is mentioned. Whether the person is fasting or is not fasting, doesn't matter. What matters is that the person is going to eat. The person may not be fasting. May not be fasting in that maybe she's menstruating for this time. And she's in need of food. Maybe she's an elderly person who cannot fast. Maybe the person is sick. Maybe the person is a traveler. The most important thing is that if the person is clean, If it is miskin, then you can give the person. So it's not about that it's more yours, miskinun saw it. A fasting miskin. No, the verse does not say that. The verse does not say a fasting miskin. And the verse does not say fahur an iftar. So it's just one meal. It's one meal. Not two meals. It's one meal. So that's another aspect of the question. Another aspect of the question. Yes. Must it be a person or it can be given to different people on a daily basis? One may decide to feed the same person throughout the month. Throughout the month. Today, I'm doing fidya for today's fasting. Tomorrow's fasting, I'm doing fidya. Next tomorrow fasting, I'm doing fidya. Using the same person, the same form is possible. No harm. And if one decides to give it to other miskin today, another miskin tomorrow, another miskin next tomorrow, no harm. Another question that may come is that can one do it in advance? To just do everything today. Maybe today is first of Ramadan, for instance. Can I do the 30 days in advance? Or it must be on a daily basis? It is preferred you don't do it in advance. Particularly if one has intention of what, fasting some of these things. Like some of the pregnant women or women or some of the nursing mothers, they may feel that okay, they can fast today, they can't fast tomorrow. So the ones that they can't fast, they do feel they are the ones they feel it. But if we want to go by what Anas bin Malik did, when he became old and he could no longer fast, he would not do it at the beginning. What he would do is, he will delay everything to the last day of Ramadan. Then he will gather 30 people and feed them at once. This Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu did. He did it for about 2 or 3 years before he died. So he will gather people, 34 people on the last day. So he will feed them in place of those days that they have been fed the people. But if one does it in advance or does it on a daily basis or delay it to the end of it, no harm. The most important thing is that a miskin is fed or matakin are fed throughout the month. Allahu a'lam. The question is, what age can we force the children to fast? What age can we force the children to fast? Now the issue of salah and the issue of fasting, they are very, very important. Rubayyah bint Muawiyah, one of the female companions, said when the fasting of Ashura started, she said, Nasu wa nusawwimu sibyanana, we will fast, and we also make our children to fast. Wa idha baka ahduhum, if one of them cried, he said what? Ataynahu al-lu'ba aw al-ihna. We give them a kind of doll that was made of wool for them to play with. So that what? They'll be able to bear the fasting. So from this, it is understood that the way we train our children for salah, we train them for fasting. The Messenger of Allah said, Muru awladakum bis salah, وهم أبناء سبع سنين. When your children attain age seven, command them to observe Salah. But don't beat them. But command them, instruct them to observe Salah. Meaning before that time, if they join you, you welcome them. If you don't join them, join you, you don't command them. At times, the mother will be praying at home, and the boy of 4 or 5 will feel like joining the mother. So you don't stop them from joining. Or the girl of 5, 6, they feel like joining the mother. You don't stop. You allow them to join. And if they are playing while they're in Salah, you don't beat them because of that. So when you start beating them, you are not acting in accordance with the hadith. The hadith says, وَأْمُرُوهُمْ بِصَلَاهُمْ قَبْنَا صَبْرٍ. He means, وَأْضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَا عَشْرٍ سِنِينَ. Then beat them when they reach the age of 10 and they are not praying, you beat them. That is when beating comes in. So that's why your children, you don't treat them the same. You have a boy of 4, a boy of 5, a boy of 7, a boy of 10, a boy of 12, 13. So the way you treat the one who is 13 years old or 12 years old or 11 years old or 10 years old, by beating him if he doesn't pray, it's not the way you treat the one that is 5 or the one that is 4. The one that is 4, the one that is 5, ordinarily you are not expected to command them to pray. It is certain that you ask you to command them. But when they are off praying with you, you don't chase them away. So the same thing is applicable to fasting. So maybe they want to fast with you, you allow them to fast. Particularly if they reach age 7, or even if they are less than that, they want to fast. If they are age 7, you can liken it to Salah as well by saying, okay, fast. And if you break the fast before, you don't beat him because of that, or beat her because it is not compulsory on him. But age 10, you ask to beat them if they will not beat. So this will also be extended to issue of fasting. Allah wa'ala. Amen. Now the question is, somebody beats a mosque and that person beats some blocks of flat around the mosque with the intention that they use the flat to finance the mosque. Is that part and parcel of the work with the endowment? If he has said that all the flat should be used to what? To finance the mosque. Those blocks or those flats are also work. They're also endowment, which should not be inherited, nor sold, nor gifted. Since he has stated his intention that these flats are meant to finance the mosque, so the mosque is workful, those flats are also worked, and they should not be treated otherwise. So any person who attempts to treat it otherwise, such a person is guilty by so doing. So, but if he says maybe 2 or 1 out of the flats, so it is 2 or 1 that he has mentioned that will be considered as what worked. So the rest are not workful, so they are to be inherited by the heir, Allah.
How much
have as many masjid rafi as possible. Maybe on the same street, for instance, if we have, depends on the length of the street. Maybe a street that is about, let's say, 500 meters long. If maybe every 100 meters or 150 or 200 meters, you have a masjid. It's good. In Medina, for instance, and the surrounding areas of Medina, they will call the present Medina now. They have a lot of the masjid here. A lot of the masjid around here. They have them here. It is only those who wanted to come to the masjid of the Prophet Allah that will come. Then, not all the companions will come to the masjid of the Prophet Allah to pray. Just by the fact that they were residing around that area. Take for instance now, if you cross the road, those places they used to call them Awali in the past. They still call them Awali now. Though they are part and parcel of the bigger Medina now. But the Medina, this time of the Messenger of Allah, Allah, they use it to refer to that just area. So they refer to places like Quba and the like. Quba, remember this Quba, is about 3 miles plus away from the Messenger Mosque. So it used to be part and parcel of Al-Awali. So they have masjid in Quba, they have many masjid around the people there who pray. And those who prefer to come to the masjid of the Prophet Allah, they come. Mu'adh will pray behind the Messenger of Allah, and he still go to his people to still lead them in Salat al-Isha. He should be Nafila, he has to be Farz. So having as many masjid as possible, Muhammad. But Masjid al-Jum'ah, Masjid al-Jami, this one ordinarily we shouldn't have as many as possible. The Muslims are expected to converge on every Friday at a place. So this used to be the practice. And that's why people from Quba, people from many places, they will come to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But later this changed. When the territory were expanding, so it became difficult for people to come from far distances. So there was a necessity to have another masjid jami. So a masjid jami could not accommodate the people. So there was necessity to also have one another masjid jami. So this is how it started. Later it became what, something of politics. Particularly when it is not coordinated by the government. An individual may just decide that, okay, I want to build a mosque, and I want you to do what? Masjid al-Jami. There's nobody that is going to stop the process. I'm not going to say, why not make yours Masjid al-Rati, and that you want to be Masjid al-Jami. But nobody can stop the other process. It has become something of what? Politics. Another reason is that some of these masjid of the Masjid al-Jami are owned by people of innovation. People of Bid'ah. The government is not restricting it, then why? I have a Sunna, a Sunni will build a mosque, and I'll say my own mosque is what? Masjid al-Rafi. Then I will not allow a person of innovation to build a mosque and it should be Masjid al-Jami. That doesn't make sense at all. If the government is not restricted, it is the business that should what? Subject himself for to the Sunni. How do you get it? Yeah? So I, as a Sunni, for instance, should not have a mosque, and I believe that what? My own mosque will be ratted. Why the mosque of one Sufi man will be what? Not the Jami. That doesn't make sense. And if it is the government that imposed it on you now that you must not have any Masjid al-Jami except that of, that's a different thing. So in this case, we have as many masajid of Jum'ah as possible as well. particularly when the people are not cooperative. But for the people of Sunnah, to suspend a people of Bid'ah, that doesn't work at all. So if the people of Sunnah can come together, that's a different thing. Huh? That's a different thing, Allah. Yes, that is what the verse. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ رَفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. So it was the what was operational before. So when the people they had the experience that they had, that the one, the man who fainted as a result of not taking something after his thought because he had slept, and Umar and some others who also had sexual intercourse with their wife after the wife had slept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated this by saying, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. To the end of the verse, Allah. That is, if you are not the one reciting the Quran, but you hear somebody reciting the Quran, and the person goes for sujood, for sajda to tilawa, it is good if you also judge. As long as you hear the recitation, it is good that one also goes. What is the reason of eating dates while one is pregnant? Does it have any effect? Wallahi, I don't know of any recommendation from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that. However, this is left to the medical doctors and those who are experts in this area to tell us the benefits of this to the pregnant women. But there is no known text that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recommends it for Allah.
What is the Islamic holding on establishing foundations just like 10 years or more? I don't know.
Now, establishing foundation, if what is meant by that is that an individual establishes a foundation to be taking care of certain things, either one, some sort of needs, this is the kind of work, the kind of work. Foundation is meant for maybe the orphan, maybe for the widows, maybe for education, for instance. This is also work, not to be inherited, nor gifted, nor sold. So it's work is a work. So Allah.
How many work do the money?
Well, managing a mosque, it is good that the mosque has people who have been appointed to take care of the masjid, ranging from the imam and other people who look at the maintenance of the masjid. So the one who has built the masjid, if it's an individual that has built it, He has built it, he has built it. But if he has any support that he can also be doing in order to move forward the right work, the message, so it is good that he does that. Only that there shouldn't be so reliance on him, because if he dies, this means that so the activities of the mosque are also died. So there should be efforts from brothers, sisters, in order to watch, to also support the running of the masjid. Now, using it, the masjid itself is a place where knowledge is learned. So we use it to teach the people, as we are having a lecture now. So things like this should be done in the masjid. Things like this should be done in the masjid. Now, as for the money that is donated to the masjid by individuals, like when we observe Salah, for instance, people donate some amounts of money like that. So this should be kept and should be used strictly for the maintenance of the mosque. It's not the way a lot of people do that, maybe the committee, they try to use the money for personal thing at times. It's a common practice with some of our people that they say any person that maybe is delivered of a baby, they give him from the purse of the mosque. This is nonsense. You don't dip your hand in the purse of the mosque to give to somebody who has delivered a baby. Or somebody wants to do marriage or whatever, you put your hand in the pocket of the masjid. That money is not meant for things like that. Yes, it is good to assist one another in the area of welfare, but there should be a separate fund for that. That we, the members of this mosque, for instance, we have a welfare fund that is meant to assist those who are praying with us. This is a very good thing. But the money that has been donated to the mosque, so to say we are going to use it to help some of our people, so this is wrong. Some of the committee will say, okay, we just believe that if you have spoken with one of the committee members, particularly the head, that I will need just 100,000 euros from the cost of the mosque, I will return it to Shumus. So they just give him the approval. They loan it from the cost of mosque. This is very, very wrong. It's not the fact that you are a member does not mean what of the committee does not mean you can loan from the cost of the mosque. That money is not meant for that. It's not meant for that. You don't have the right to take anything from it. Who will the intention of what? Returning it later. So it should be worked quickly for the maintenance of the mosque. In fact, some scholars are of the opinion that you don't use it to overwatch, finance the imam. You don't use it to finance the imam. Not to talk of using it to finance other people. So there should be a separate thing for the imam. There should be a separate thing for the imam. So unless if it is clearly stated that the donors, they understand that this money that you are contributing also involves that of the imam. How is it clear? So if it is clearly stated, when it's not clearly stated, you don't just spend the money of the mosque anyhow. So the way a lot of people do today. So the money donated to the mosque should be for the progress of the mosque and not for the welfare of the members, not only for the welfare of the imam. So Allah. I think he's the guy who's Let me talk on that. Now, frankly speaking, if one wants to look at the ease with respect to tagging the end demand, one may say the easiest view is the view of the Hanafiya. The Hanafiya are of the opinion that once you are behind the demand, you don't respect at all. Once you are behind the demand, you don't reply at all. Not Surah, not Fatiha. You don't reply anything. And they build their argument on the hadith, Man kana lahu iman, fa qira'atu iman la qira'a. So whoever has an iman, the tradition of iman is sufficient. So this hadith, authenticated by some scholars, like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, and said to be inauthentic by a lot of scholars as well. As for Sheikh Al-Albani who authenticated this hadith, he also restricted it. He said that it's when the imam is not reciting, when the imam is reciting aloud. So when the imam is not reciting aloud, you will apply La Salata liman lam yaqra bi Fatiha al Kitab. The one does not recite Salat al Fatiha as no scholar. Now in terms of authenticity, the one that says La Salata liman lam yaqra bi Fatiha al Kitab is more authentic. This one we all agree that what is authentic. But the other one is disputed concerning the authenticity. Umu Sheikh al-Albani that authenticated it still went far to restrict it by saying it is when the imam is reciting aloud. For if the imam is not reciting aloud, the recitation of the imam is not sufficient for you. But if you want to go by the ease, you say what? You are not reciting anything, you are going behind the imam. Now there is something that supports this from the author of, Zayd bin Thabit, if I'm not mistaken, which is against the Muslim, said, La qira'ata ma'al imam, aw khalf al imam fi shay. You don't recite behind the imam anything. La qira'ata ma'al imam fi shay. So this, and now are we commenting on this? He said it's not general. It is when the imam is reciting loud. If the imam is reciting silently, you afterwards recite. Now, if you look at it, just as it is easy that you don't recite behind the imam, it is also dangerous when you cannot hear the recitation of the imam and you are just standing still like that. So you can be easily swayed by shaitan, because you are just standing, you are not reciting anything, and you cannot hear the citation. So, and that's why those, the jumhur of the scholars who say you recite when the imam is not reciting aloud, that is compulsory you recite. But if the imam is reciting aloud, you don't recite, you listen. So it makes their position very strong, and that is the point that you say you favor, that you are convinced with. So it's a very good position. But when we look at the hadith, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatha al kitab, it is disturbing somehow. The one doesn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha as no salah. So this is the reason why people like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and many others, Ibn Hazm, of the thing that you have to recite. You have to recite. Only if it warrants you meeting the Imam and in what? In Rukur, you have to recite. Because one does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha as no salah. Declare. So this makes it a radius of all. However, it's not a matter that one can be rigid on. The subject of difference of opinion. The scholars, they have differed over each since the time of the companions, not today. So it's a very simple matter. I personally, my position is that you have to decide. But one gets the thought, when you join the Salah, for instance, and you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and Imam goes to Rukur, what do you do? Yes, some scholars like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz, you stop there, go to Rukur, leave the rest. Huh? Say what, leave the rest, you stop there. That is the amount that you can recite, the much that you can do. The Imam is already in another level of Salah, which is Rukur. You have to go and meet him here. This is the famous opinion of Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and some other people. You know that you must recite. Why you are still in standing position? Why the Imam is still in standing position? You have to. But when the Imam goes to Ruku, you say, okay, that is the much you can do. Go and join him in Ruku. He said, your case can be worse than the case of the one who comes to the masjid and meets the Imam in Ruku. You come to the masjid, the man is already in Ruku. We say, no, you stand and recite what? Surah Al-Fatiha. We say, go and join the Imam in Ruku. So the man is already in Ruku, which means that you stop where you are. You stop your recitation where you are. You join the Imam in Ruku. However, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Ibn Hazmi, and some others said, no, don't go and join him. Finish your own recitation, even if he warrants you meeting the Imam in Ruku. And part of the evidence is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ma asbikum bihi idha raka'tu." Tudrikuni idha raka'tu. It doesn't matter if I see you in the court. You are going to meet me if I raise my head. That is, you are still going to catch up with me. The Prophet of Allah said it because he does not want people to watch, so do things simultaneously with him. To proceed in this. He said, if I precede you in what? In rukur. So don't take to drikuni, you are going to meet me with rafa'atu. If I raise my head, you are still going to meet me in that, meaning you are still going to catch up with me. Do what you are supposed to do. So if you have this specifically, use this as evidence. These are the scriptures contained in some Abu Dawud and some other books. So the matter that said is a matter of difference of opinion among the scholars that one cannot be too rigid on. So you take your position and you allow others to act before they are convinced of Allah.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
The message is clear. No, the problem is in Allah's words. We have students of knowledge, and we have scholars, and we have the followers who are neither students nor scholars. So some people, because they love a particular sheikh, whatever he says, that's fine. And they are ready to take whatever he says. They are ready to fight you over what that scholar or other student of knowledge says. So this is the way of the Muqallidu, the blind followers. So we encourage not to be blind followers. So to look for evidence. Not that this person is my sheikh and whatever he says, that is final. He knows something that a lot of things that he doesn't know. So things like this, you find it common with the blind follower. Because he should accept something to be doing it. Even if what he's doing is something that he cannot do. What he cannot do. Doesn't mind doing it, even if all of you are going to attack him. Then my sheikh has told me that what this is the right thing. What's the evidence? Cannot provide the evidence. You have to do like that. Then we have students of knowledge. When I say students of knowledge, I mean those who are with the rule. They follow based on what a scholar, for instance, or a senior student of knowledge has provided as evidence. It's based on what you have presented as evidence that they are following. But these people, they do not take into consideration the people that they are living with in the society. Take for instance somebody who learns that you can pray in your sandals. You can pray in your sandals and put on sandals and walk into the type of masjid that is the type. And when you say, oh, this is not okay, but you are going against the sunnah. Sunnah is that I can pray in sandals. Yes, you can pray in sandals, but not in a place that is what tied like this. Most of the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not rocked, was not tied. It was sandy. So when you pray in your sandals or you don't pray in your sandals, no much difference. But today we have more ties, more rocks. And somebody said, I've read a hadith that says I can pray in the sandals. And if you say no, you say no, you people are in the sunnah. So to the extent that if somebody now sees him doing that, and he says sunnah, if one of the babas will say, oh, a'udhu billahi min hadhihi sunnah. I seek refuge with Allah from this type of sunnah. What type of rubbish you have? So the baba will be attacking the sunnah. Why what else? It is this problem that has misapplied the sunnah. It is not the sunnah that has worked, that has touched. So such a person will not be doing that in his own household, but he will come to the mosque to do it. And after he came and saw the size of the mosque with the standard that he has put up, he expects somebody to watch to come and clean it because he wants to do sunnah. And he will not do that in his own house. When he's staying in his own tied or robbed house, he will take off the sandals. But when he comes to the mosque, he will create work for people to clean. You see things like this, that some students of knowledge, they do. Some people, they are just troublemakers, fitna mongers. So what they do is that they look for things that are strange in the game, so that people will criticize them. Huh? People will say, what type of nonsense you are doing? Well, put down the sunnah. There's evidence that you can do this. So if you're looking for strange things that you will do that will make people watch, criticize them. And this intention is very bad. It's very bad. So some brothers, they are like that, just wanting to do things that will be strange among the people. So here to seek attention. And you know that even what is compulsory or strongly recommended You are still trying to push this thing to these Babas that they are not taking it from you. Can you bring things that are what? That are controversial or things that are, the IS can say is that they are permissible. You bring it to them so that what they can attack the Sunnah anymore. So there is no doubt that things like this exist. So but as for what you have said, the position remains the way it is. So if the brother is convinced that they have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, almost if the imam is in ruku, as long as what he has met the imam in standing position, we can't be rigid on him. We can't be rigid on him. But he should also try to explain to the people. He should also try to explain to the people in a gentle way that the people will understand. But bringing things that are controversial, seriously controversial, or things that IS you can say that this thing are permissible. So you try to leave some of those things. At times Salah will say something that is mustahab, may try to leave it. When you feel that the people will not understand, then because of that thing that you are doing, leave what is compulsory. So you may decide to leave it if they will not understand you. Spending the time that what they will understand, you can now make it in and what explain, and they will take it from you. Like you are living in an environment where people do not have understanding of the deen at all. You get there, you say what? It is haram for you to bow for your parents. People are wallowing in shirk and some other things. You don't come up with what is around for you to bow for your parents. You start with something that is worse than these people are doing. Then after this, you have succeeded in this, you introduce another thing. So the issue of it is haram for you to bow, you bring it in. Then they watch, welcome immediately. But when you start with that, they reject every other thing you want to say. So that is not having what? The hikmah in what? In dawah. Yes, as human beings you make mistakes in prioritizing things at times. But some of these things are very, very important. There are some things that you just keep quiet, you won't talk. You know, you think they are doing is wrong, but they are doing what is more wrong. So busy yourself with what is more wrong first. If you are true with that, you come back to this. So if they are able to take watch, so they are able to watch, to fall for you when you are asking them to leave what is more wrong, it will be easier for them to watch. So succumb when it has to do with something that is less wrong. Wallah. So, well, this is something that is, what can I say, can be used, not that we say it is 100% correct, but it's something that can be tentatively used. Because this that you see is based on observation, not just peaks like that. It is based on constant observation. So like Salatul Zuhr, for instance, most of these prayer timings, they have almost the same Salatul Zuhr. All of them. We have, if you use your phone, for instance, now you download an app on Salat timing. So when you look at Salatul Zuhr, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, they are all having the same thing. But from constant observation, it has been seen here in Nigeria, particularly in Lagos here, that it's either that timing you have is correct, or it is a bit earlier, or it is a bit earlier, like 2 minutes earlier than the normal time. That's at times. At times it will be okay. At times it will be 2 minutes earlier than the normal time. At times it may be 3 minutes. At times it may be 4 minutes. So that's why some of our brothers, having studied, say, okay, let us put it 6 minutes. So we have not observed what is 6 minutes earlier. So let us add 6 minutes to it. So that to be on the safe side. So when you add 6 minutes to the prayer time of Zoom, it goes. You add 6 minutes to that of Asu, it goes. That of Maghrib, at times, it is earlier than what you add. At least Maghrib comes in before what you have on the app. At least I've observed several times. At times, it may be up to 5 minutes. And at times, it will be accurate. And at times, you see it's later, it's later than what you have in the... I think in one of your, was it your Akiko or the Akiko of one of your younger brothers who were here? And the time they said, Maghrib at 30, we could still see the sun. So it was maybe about 2 or 3 minutes after the sun disappeared. And that's why we don't touch that of the Maghrib, we say sunset. Because we've not found a solution to that. At times it will be accurate, at times it will be a bit earlier, like 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and at times it will be later than that. So let us leave it. Where the problem lies majorly is that of the Sufi and that of Isha. The prayer timings that you have, the calculation methods that you have, we have the Egyptian General Survey, we have that of the Muslim World League, we have that of Umul Qura, that of the University of Islamic, Islamic University of Karachi, we have that of ISNA, Islamic Society of North America. At least any application you download on your, you see this calculation method. So when you go to the calculation method, what this one is giving you for Sufi will be different from what this one is giving you for Sufi. These five that you have mentioned now, they have almost about five different calculations for Sufi and for Isha. So which one is correct? Which one is correct? The closest to the truth is that of ISNA, Islam Society of North America. According to our own observation here, though it's not accurate truth, but it's included, the Islamic Society of North America. So that's the closest. But if you want to go, they reach here from what? 15 degrees below horizon. While some Judeans are on 18 degrees below horizon, like that of the Muslim world is 18 degrees below horizon. So between 15 degrees and 18 degrees below horizon, that's 12 minutes. So when this one says it's time for Sufi, it won't be time for Sufi in the other one until 12 minutes later. So some is 18.5 degrees below horizon, that is that of the Muslim world, that of the Umul Qura. Why that of Egyptian general whatever, it's around 19 degrees below horizon. So you see the difference. You see the difference. So which one should we take? If you take that of ISNA, it's not accurate too. Our own observation is around 16.5 degrees below horizon. 16.5 degrees below horizon, around that time. So that's why the advice is that if you want to do this section, take the one that comes with it and what actually comes or normally comes. The default listing most of the time is that of Muslim World League. If you download an application now, If you look at the calculation method, one that you see there is Muslim one week, which is 18 degrees below rising. So we said the Zuhr at 6 minutes, at 6 minutes. The Sufi also at 6 minutes. The Isha make it minus 14. So if you do that, you get what you have there. So I am tampering with the Muslim one, which is the default calculation method. So all you need to do is just add 6 to Zuhr, 6 to add 3, then add 6 to Sufi. So if you add 6 to Sufi, it will be falling around 16.5 degrees below horizon. Obviously then minus 14 for Isha. Minus 14. That is if you are using the Muslim one with the default calculation method. If you download an app now, what they will put here as the default calculation method most likely will be Muslim one week. All you need to do is for you to set it to Nigeria Lagos. So that's number one. The second step is to add 6 minutes to Sufi, which will be 16.5 degrees rising. 6 minutes to Zuhr, which we have added in order to be on the safe side. Likewise, Asr. Since Asr depends on Zuhr, so that being on the safe side should be transported to that of Asr as well. Why that of Isha? The reddish twilight disappears before the time they have here. So from the look of things, it's around 14 minutes before what you have in the Muslim World League calculation. So this is what they did that led to this one. So you can just download and set like that. So this is a trial and observation done by some people a lot. I think I've discussed this at length. I've discussed this at length since before you came. The correct opinion is, and that is most scholars' opinion, that you can do it without any magic, as long as it's a magic that is open to the people, not a magic that is meant for my family, open to the variety of the Muslims. You can do it without it. Not yet, my position. Out of this. Anything that will come masjid, the masjid that we are talking about that you can do it without, is masjid that is work. Because masjid that is not work is considered to be masjid in the house, which the owner may decide not to use as a mosque any time, and it's not a blameworthy. So when we say masjid, so it's what you do for Allah, not what you are using temporary. It must be built for Allah. That's a masjid. So that MTO Abiola's masjid, if they call it masjid, it doesn't call masjid. It's not a masjid. It's a musalla. The fact that people pray Juma here does not qualify it to be masjid, unless if it has been considered to be what for Allah, and the family cannot inherit it, they can't turn it to something else. So the fact that it is inside the compound doesn't mean anything. So the people are allowed to come in, and it's meant for Allah, not to be inherited by the children, not to be gifted out or sold. So the condition of what you eat is good. So the fact that it's inside the compound, that doesn't stop it from being since they have been there, if they are observed to allow the Juma there, they are observed to have daily prayer there. So you take it to be what you see on the topic. Until it is said that it is not meant for work. Yes, it's not the masjid that we are talking about, but because it will mean what the masjid will do, for instance. It will be masjid will do in the house that are meant for the family, just like the solar. For the meaning of the masjid to be applicable to a musalla, it must be waqf. Huh? Some will say a masjid. It's not because you just do sujood here. A technical masjid is waqf. If the owner is not going to allow people or he wants to take it, that means it's replacing with something better. Maybe as he has it in his compound now, maybe he wants to provide another one in that area that is better than that small one that we have. Because that much we are talking about, I don't think it's bigger than this place. So if he's going to provide a bigger one in that area, so the plan won't say what it can go. It can go because it's given something that is better. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته